No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everybody, and good morning, and welcome to another episode of Messy and Co. I am Ashley, here, as always, with my incredible co-host, Gian, and I'm gonna make a claim and give some people kind of the behind the scenes info, which is that we recorded a preview already for this episode. We recorded a preview for this episode Thursday afternoon, and we're planning on releasing it yesterday, like we normally do. We try and release Friday for a Saturday game, and we had that plan. But then we saw a report go out by someone we know very well, Michelle Kaufman from Miami Herald, that sort of had this breaking story that Messi, Busquets, and Suarez did not travel with the team to go for this game in Vancouver. And we're going to get to that in a second. But we did not factor that in to our preview episode that we recorded without them playing. And we obviously no, that's important. So we decided we have to re-record it. And instead of just re-recording it yesterday and putting it out there, we were like, let's hear what the people have to say, you know, because it is maybe a little, there's some controversy surrounding it and the timing. And so people's thoughts and what it means for the team, what it means for the game, who's going to play, et cetera, all those things. And so we wanted to discuss it. So that's kind of why we're live today. And it's, you know, a different time than normal. So we'll give some people time to join. But yeah, without all that being said, how are you doing, Gian?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. It's the weekend. Anytime it's the weekend, it's a good day. So just excited to talk about all this news that's come out with Inter Miami. Obviously, there's also been a lot of controversy. I know a lot of people feel differently about players missing and you know, other teams kind of. It's just been, I think, a circus on social media and yeah, the coverage. As you know, everybody expects Messi to play. Everybody expects the best players to play. So I think that it'll be fun to talk about today and get everybody's opinions, and then also just kind of preview the game and see what we're expecting. A few days ago, we were expecting a lot, I think, something very different than we are today. So it'll be nice to talk about that.
Yeah, I agree. I don't want to be someone who says, "I told you so." Because in this instance, I'm not happy I was right, because I like to watch Messi play. But I'll tell you this, Suarez and Busquets surprises me, but the fact that Messi did not go does not surprise me at all. Like we said, I'm surprised by when the fact that they didn't say anything, basically, and that Vancouver had to be the one to announce it, that, you know, we heard that they aren't on the plane. That part I didn't see coming, but all things considered, with scheduling and understanding, you know, who's you know, who's available and the tight turnarounds and the midweek games, it didn't happen. And so I think it's less even an issue that Messi doesn't play in this game. I really do, because I think if you look at it from a broader point of view and you think about him and his age and what he's going to be playing in, and he has this big tournament coming up, you can understand. But what the problem is that the rest of MLS is an office, Inter Miami, as in terms of releasing player information, and then the opposing teams marketing the event, all of those things aren't factoring in what is kind of simple, which is that Messi's not going to fly 6 hours to and from for a quick 48-hour turnaround and then have two more games in this next week and then go to Copa America and play on turf. He's not going to do that. And if you thought about that from like a bird's eye view, in my opinion, like I think a lot of people could have just come to that conclusion. But the fact that no one said anything from any party and it was kind of like left in there and Vancouver wants to sell out this, that, and the other, it makes it very, no pun intended, messy.
Yeah. So there's a couple of things I think about that. Number one, Messi is the biggest show in the United States in MLS right now, and obviously in parts of Canada. Teams aren't going to not market Messi because there's a chance of him not playing. That's not going to happen. And from a business perspective, from a marketing perspective, you're going to continue to market these games where Inter Miami is coming to your city as a Messi game. You're going to try to sell as many tickets as possible. And at the end of the day, it's really on the fans knowing that they're taking a risk, and it stinks. I'm not going to deny that. It does stink. But it's just something you got to do. And it's the same thing in every sport. It happens in the NBA. You know, you go and you buy tickets and you get to the game and one of your guys is missing, or one of your star player is missing. Like, that tends to happen. This isn't unique to MLS. This isn't unique to Inter Miami. I think that because it's Messi, because it's Suarez, because you've got the best show on earth right now, not on earth, but in the United States, rather, in MLS, teams are holding Inter Miami and fans are holding Inter Miami like to a higher responsibility to be able to tell. And that's not Inter Miami's responsibility to be telling everybody. Now, props to Vancouver. I think they're probably the first team that I've seen that actually did something about it for their fans and is providing 50% off on food, in stadium food, and then any fan under the age of 18, they're providing them with a free meal. So I think they're going above and beyond.
Yeah.
Doing more than, again, other teams have done when they've marketed Messi and Messi hasn't shown up. Vancouver, props them, is actually doing something for their fans, but it is not the best situation, I think, over there. Now, as far as Messi missing the game, yeah, I think in retrospect, now that we think about it, you know, knowing that there's three games in a span of what, like a week,
8 days.
That is a lot of games for Messi to play. And what we've seen in the past is Messi typically miss that Saturday game. I mean, not miss the Saturday game because it's been a week. So that's not necessarily a quick turnaround. He's had 6 days without playing. So we've really seen Messi play that game and then miss the midweek game so that he can play the following game. That's what we've seen in the past. So I think that's kind of what came to a surprise to some, that he's actually going to miss the first game, the Saturday game where he has the most rest. And then he's going to play the Wednesday one and the Saturday, which is, that's the quick turnaround games. So I think that was
the travel. Yeah.
Yeah. So when you throw in the travel and then I think the fact that it's a turf field, yeah, you know, it's been mentioned.
Oh no, you muted.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry about that. So, you know, when you take into consideration the travel, and then you take into consideration that he's playing on turf. And I know that he's dispelled the rumors, but it still plays a factor. I think it does. It still does.
Right, it's compounding factors.
Yeah, exactly. So when you put everything together, I think that obviously does lead to them wanting Messi, and then in this case, Suarez and Busquets, Busquets has been one of those that has played basically every minute of every game to finally get some rest ahead of what's going to be the last push before Messi leaves, which is Wednesday, and then Saturday against St. Louis, which now, you know, we were, I think, a bit on the fence as to whether he was going to play against St. Louis, Messi. Now I think that him missing this game kind of solidifies that he'll be playing these last two games. He will be playing against St. Louis. And then the last point I want to make is there's this notion that Inter Miami has to let everybody know
right
if Messi's going to play or not. we have to remember MLS does not have an official injury report or an official rest report where teams have to report to the league letting what players will play or won't play. Now, on social media, you see there's an MLS report that comes out that has the injury report that MLS Communications tweets out. That's not an official report. That is not a report that they received from teams. That is a bunch of reporters that work on that injury report, and they go and look through all of the interviews, look through all of the different questions that other reporters have asked, and kind of try to get as much info as possible. And based off of what they have heard, they'll write a list of who they think is going to miss the game. But that's not official. And Inter Miami will not be, because there is no rule. We know, especially, that they are very discreet. They have no responsibility to say that or give, you know, any indication. So that's something also that I think that we need to take into perspective and say, and not hold Miami to, like, they have to be giving us this information. They don't.
Yeah, that's a really good point too, because here's like the crux of the matter. And by the way, we're going to get to, I put some comments on, but please let us know your thoughts and like some questions you have or some points you want to make, because I want this really to be a great discussion with everyone. I will say this, and the real crux of the issue and the problem that I do not know how it's going to be solved currently, is that from Inter Miami's perspective, why would they give another team a competitive advantage and let them know if or if not their star players are playing? Why would we have given Vancouver 1, 2, 3 weeks notice that Messi, Busquets, and Suarez are not going to play, and that instead it's going to be, you know, Robert Taylor, Rojas, and Campana or whoever? Like, why would we give them that so that they can prepare for those players specifically and, you know, have an advantage going in? Why would we do that? We wouldn't do that. But at the same time, MLS is a new territory where right now, you know, not compared to David Beckham or Zlatan Ibrahimovic and a lot of other players, Messi is a different planet. And it's similar. It reminds me a lot of a few years ago in the NBA where it was, you know, that 5-year stretch with like LeBron, Kawhi, Steph Curry, et cetera, like, where there was a lot of away games where the arenas would be selling to try and get people to be able to see those players play. And then if they rest or this, that, and the other, they don't play. And MLS and these teams that Messi is going to be playing in the MLS have tried to create a commercial advantage, right? Maybe not competitive, but a commercial advantage where they're saying, we may not win, or, you know, what's on the field isn't important. What's important is that we need to maximize this moment with Messi here. Like, look at the game in Kansas City, 80 or 70 something thousand NFL stadium sold out. Great game. Messi scored, you know, everyone was very happy. New England Revolution, even on turf, he went, sold out, 65,000. Great game. Inter Miami won, whatever, you know. Those are two times where it worked really well. It worked well for all parties involved. It worked for Inter Miami. It worked for the away team. It worked for MLS. But that's not necessarily what's – LA Galaxy in the beginning of the year, same thing, sold out, worked well for everyone. But to put the blame and the sole responsibility on Messi and Inter Miami to be able to, you know, oh, we're going to do whatever we can so that – at the away game, your experience and you as a club make much more money. Like, why is that their responsibility? It's not, but it needs to be. MLS needs to figure out a way, though, to regulate it in some way so that there are advantages for everyone, because, you know, not everyone can afford to do what Inter Miami have afforded to do and paid for with these players. And so it's just about finding the balance. And I don't have the answer, by the way. I don't have the answer for what that balance looks like, but I imagine some changes are coming in some way. But my point of all that is to say, I don't blame Inter Miami. I blame, if anything, the institution overall, the MLS league office and you know, other players for not creating structure enough where Inter Miami or the, you know, there's more transparency. Because it's not on Inter Miami to provide that transparency. It's really
but
not.
I think I think though, because I've seen that word blame. And you're not the first person to see it. There's been different, I think, conversations on the socials and on Twitter and that sort of thing about blame. What are we talking about blame? Blame for what, though? Because there, like that's I think the part that I don't understand. Nobody did anything wrong in my eyes. Inter Miami didn't do anything wrong. Vancouver didn't do anything wrong. In fact, I think it's just a risk that as a fan going to any game you take. A player can get injured the day before in practice and not show up. That's a risk you take, and it's happened to me. I went to a Barca game here one time for an exhibition, and there were a few of the players ended up missing. And you know, but at the end of the day, I that's a risk I took. So I just don't think there's anything to blame about. I just think it's a risk.
Maybe blame is not the right word, but more so, I mean that they're. But I think there is a recognition that there should be some type of a more centralized governance of this issue. Like, meaning, I just think that the MLS league office, and we're going to talk about the NBA in a little bit because we're going to go through the polls and Gian's going to pull them up and we're going to actually look at the polls that we created and people's answers. But when, like I said, when the NBA had this problem pretty severely, I mean, but there were a lot more stars, by the way. So I think it was a little easier because there's more supply for all intents and purposes compared to now where it's like, you know, there's only one Messi. And
but do you think the league is going to change something because of one player or two players?
Well, they want it to be more. If they want there to be more Messis and Suarez's, then they're going to have to.
But we're not going to see another Messi. We're not gonna would this be an issue if it was Griezmann? No, like if Griezmann was playing here, would this be an issue if Giroud was here? And these arenas would not be selling out. They wouldn't be doing all the marketing around them. I think that this is an issue just because of Messi. Like if Messi was playing and it was Suarez and Busquets that were just out, this wouldn't be an issue. This is literally just Messi. It's not about Busquets. It's not about Suarez. It's about Messi missing the game. Messi's going to be in this league maybe another season. And what would like that? Now what I do think is maybe there's an opportunity to do something like the NBA where for certain games, like nationally televised games, if that ever becomes a thing, or certain things where maybe there's a policy where, you know, there's a rest policy where you can only rest one of your star players or maybe two max or something like that. There's maybe things around that, but I just don't, has this ever been an issue until now because of Messi? No. So like, that's why I don't know if MLS has enough to say, hey, because of one player that who's only going to be here maybe another season, are we going to
the overall idea that but if they want to get more stars, because you're right, it's not going to be at the level of Messi, but what if in 3 years from now, like, what if you have, I don't know, like Harry Kane or like Kylian Mbappe or like, you know, Ant Griezmann or whatever, like there's still the idea though that, and that's what you want. Like let me rephrase it. Let's work from point B to point A. MLS wants to sell out stadiums around the country and have multiple teams and multiple stars that are attracting fans. That's what any professional league wants, right? In America, like that's the goal. And so in order to achieve that goal, you need to create consistency and give people the feeling that if you buy tickets for an event because you want to see X, Y, and Z stars, that, you know, they're going to be, we feel good enough that you're going to be able to see them in some capacity in these different things. Because like a lot of things, and the reason I say that is like, for example, in Vancouver, seeing on social media, a lot of people saying Vancouver soccer is done. Now everyone who paid a lot of money for tickets are never going to do it again. They're never going to invest again. They're not going to care again. They're going to hold a grudge. And the from MLS is because, yeah, maybe Messi's leaving, but the Vancouver team isn't leaving. The market of Vancouver isn't leaving.
When's the last time they sold out a stadium though? This wasn't an issue.
But that's what they need to figure out. They need
like
to
even Ibra. Even Ibra wasn't selling out stadiums. Like it's just
well, but that's part of what they got to figure out. They want to work towards.
But so I think with so Northern Thai guy is saying it's more about scheduling around FIFA competitions, and I agree.
I think that's
if there's a first step, I think it's probably the number one step is scheduling, like when there's FIFA breaks and when there's things like this is finding a pause or something. But yeah, it's just I feel for everybody. I think it's not a good position to be in if you're a Vancouver fan or an Inter Miami fan that lives in the area, or a Messi fan, which there are many that live in that area that are going to see Messi. It stinks, and I do feel for the fans. But again, kudos to Vancouver for doing their best to try to remediate that kind of letdown that they have, and try to provide the best experience for the fans. And at the end of the day, they should still have a good game. Inter Miami has a bunch of really good players. They're going to see Leo Campana that might go to Copa America. They're going to see Matias Rojas. You know, they're going to see Robert Taylor that's doing
Jordi Alba.
Jordi Alba. Like it should be a good game. So at the end of the day, I still think that where they're going to not see Messi, at least they should have a sense of entertainment and a good game to watch and support the local team, you know. But yeah, I definitely do feel for them. So
yeah, it's just it's like the international breaks is a big thing, and that's the thing that MLS needs to take a step in saying and basically confirming, okay, if we're gonna have we want to have all these superstars come to MLS that are not quite at the end, and that we're getting them earlier, and we are getting them where there's still lots of fans who wants to go see them. And there's still players that are at a good enough caliber where they're playing internationally. We need to start accommodating that. It makes me think of the Red Bull. The Red Bulls game early in the season where we lost a lot. Both Inter Miami and the Red Bulls had so many players on international duty, and they said, "Can we please move this game? We both have players who are unavailable." And the league was like, "No." And so it worked out for Red Bulls, but what it ended up being was a half full stadium and not a good game, and people in New York not getting to see their stars. And so it's like, you know, MLS needs to, my point of all of this is that this tier, it's right that this is a unique situation. There's sometimes nothing that really anyone can do. It kind of just sucks. But what it shows me is that I think there are steps that the MLS league office needs to make. And this is me coming as an Inter Miami fan, by the way, who lives in Miami. And so I see Messi plenty. You know, I'm very lucky to. I see him almost every week for 6 months in a row. Like I couldn't be luckier. I really couldn't. But I can still say that this is an unfair situation. And it's not one particular person who's to blame, but all of these factors of Vancouver overhyping it, trying to get money for it, Inter Miami not disclosing their information because they don't want to give a competitive advantage, MLS for scheduling such a tight window of games and turnaround and a cross-country flight a week and a half before Copa America, where you knew 8 months ago Lionel Messi was going to be in Copa America. It's not like this is like a new tournament. This has been scheduled for 4 years. And so putting all those things into consideration, they need to just make better choices and think about how can we best position our best players and our stars in the league to shine and improve the overall awareness of the league to the rest of the country. Yeah. It's MLS's job. It's not Inter Miami's job. It's MLS's job.
Yeah, MLS can do a better job with scheduling. I think that's something everybody can agree with. So there's not much debate there. But yeah, I mean, to the fans, you know, a lot of times we think that we see all these reports on online and on the socials, but we have to remember, I would say probably like a good 70% of the fans that are going, maybe even more, aren't people that are on Twitter. Like we and most of us are here on Twitter reading all these things. You think that everybody in that stadium that went there knows who Michelle Kaufman is, knows who
they should,
like, knows who we are, knows who you know, all these people that cover the team. Like, they're not on Twitter and saying, oh, let's stick to the report, let's make sure we read all the reports and see all. No, they just they see the announcement, Messi, Vancouver. Oh, cool. I like Messi. Oh, cool. That's a guy from Barcelona, right? Oh, I can't wait to go see him. And then they go. They're not like us. They're not on top of it. We're people that are on Twitter, like, who knows how many hours of the day. So,
yeah.
But we definitely feel for them. But yeah, I think, I don't know how much more we want to get into this. I think we've made some good points. Maybe we go into, I'm going to share some of the polls. How about that?
Yes, that's what I want to do. When we knew yesterday and really Thursday night that we weren't going to put out the episode that we first recorded because of all these changes, we got to thinking, how can we, because this is obviously, I mean, we've spent the first 20 minutes basically both of us giving our opinions a lot, but we knew there would be a lot more of opinions and a lot of questions. And so we, on our X Twitter, and this is, look, we're showing it. If you're not following this right now, please follow and turn on the notification bell so you know about all the times we post. But we put out a poll, a few polls about this whole situation and answering questions and seeing, you know, what people think. And so let's start with the first one. Do you agree with Messi, Suarez, and Busquets resting for Vancouver match? This one surprises me. I'm not going to lie. This actually surprises me, where it's the overwhelming majority is at 56 or 58%. 58?
Yeah, we've got 59%.
Almost 59% saying no, they don't agree with it. Now, here's a question I want to put in the chat. Do you not agree with all three? Or do you not just agree with Messi? Or do you, you know, are you thinking like, well, if you can't play Messi, then I would have liked to see Suarez and Busquets, or I would have liked to see, you know, some type of breakdown, or just no, overall, they should not have not gone to this game. Why do you think people are saying no, Gian?
I mean, it's interesting because I'm not 100% sure if they're just, the question is about all of them. And I think that at the end of the day, you know, a lot of fans just want to see the best product on the field. A lot of fans aren't necessarily. I think it is the minority and not the majority who look at this team from a strategic point and right. Say, hey, we've got this amount of games. Hey, we've got these players have gotten this amount of minutes. Hey, we're playing. It's a 12 hours of travel time back and forth about to Canada. It's a turf field. Like, that's a lot of stuff that I think people who are more strategic about it, maybe who know a bit more or have a bit more knowledge on the game itself. Those are things that maybe we think about. But I think the average fan just wants to see Messi, Suarez, and Busquets play. Right. And at the end of the day, most people are fans. Not everybody's an analyst. Not everybody's a journalist. So to me, that's
not like us, pro analysts and journalists. Yes.
Yeah, of course. But I think the average fan just wants to see them on the pitch. And at the end of the day, they're not going to think about all the intangibles, all the extra stuff like we do. So that's kind of what that means to me. And it makes sense. We have to remember, like, and a lot of us, especially those of you who are probably in chat because you're watching this, look at the game from a different lens. The average fan looks at this as entertainment, wants to see good soccer, good football, wants to see the passing, wants to see the goals. They don't care about the rest. And polls like this, I think, allude to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. So then, the overwhelming majority.
No one plans for hair loss. But through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Don't agree with it. But I also, to your point, think that the 34% yes leads me to believe that it's, you know, it's not like it's like 90-10. Like people understand those, you know, like you said, those kind of intangibles. So, yeah, we'll see. The second poll, though, very interesting. And that's what really has been kind of like our topic of conversation, which is who shoulders most of the blame for this happening to a sold out match. And, you know, Gian, you said blame is a strong word and, you know, maybe it's no one. And I think you have points there. I think this poll is very telling because in this view, everyone has a little bit of blame, but I like it because it agrees with my opinion, which is that MLS holds the most blame because Vancouver, you know, yeah, you can blame them a little bit for maybe misleading their fans when they didn't have 100% confirmation Messi was playing, but they're trying to sell their tickets. They're trying to improve their commercial success. They're trying to improve their team. Great. Inter Miami, yeah, they could have disclosed a little earlier instead of the night before and, you know, knew that this was factoring into what was going to be, a congested schedule and could have been more forthright with it. Could have, but they didn't want to give the competitive advantage. MLS office has control over scheduling and has control over current policies as it comes to disclosing information about players, rest, injuries, etc. The ball is literally in their court with both of those things that have affected this outcome, right? So if there's, in my opinion, if there's one place to start, it's the MLS office needing to create better scenarios where these teams don't have to make such drastic decisions. Because Inter Miami didn't choose the schedule, but they were presented it. And they knew Lionel Messi was leaving in 8 days to go play in Copa America. And they knew he was not going to play 3 games in 8 days here. And they didn't want him to travel a 6.5-hour flight each way to go play this game in Vancouver. And they knew that that was going to be the right strategic decision.
Yeah, I see it a bit differently because, again, just to my previous point, I don't think MLS office is going to change all this because of one player, even if it's Messi. I don't think they need to look at a schedule and say, hey, let's build this schedule around Messi. Oh, okay, he has Copa America. Oh, let's make sure, you know, we need to make sure that he only has 2 games leading into Copa America because we want to make sure that he's rested for Argentina and we want to make sure that he plays every game. Like, I don't think MLS is doing that. I don't think
Disagree. They should be doing that. They're paying their Apple TV subscription and their Adidas money. They have invested hundreds of millions of dollars in this decision, and they want whatever the next, these 2 years of Messi is going to dictate the next 10 years of MLS for real.
No, I understand that, but it's not like Inter Miami, like they don't know when Messi's gonna play or not. They can't make that assumption and say, hey, if there's 3 games here, and mind you, it's 3 games for everybody. It's not just Inter Miami. There's teams that have, there's multiple teams. Like, they're not going to have a conversation with Tata Martino and with Chris Henderson and say, hey, if we do the schedule like this, do you think Messi is going to play all three, 6 months from now, 7 months from now? What's your plan 6 months from now with Messi? Do you think will you sit him on Saturday or will you sit him on Wednesday? Like, that's too in the weeds. I understand your point, but I don't think that's something that the MLS office needs to get into, especially again, where for a season or 2 seasons, like where Messi's going to be around. I just think that it's just part of the game. Fans take a risk. And if there's anything that I would be like, okay with, I guess, is again, taking the approach where maybe a day before the game, officially, teams have to let the league office know who is resting and who is injured and properly report that. That could be something because, again, the NBA does that. And if a team in the NBA doesn't report properly, they get fined. So, and we've seen that. We've seen that already happen. So maybe that's something. I don't know. I that's where we differ in opinion is I don't think MLS office needs to get that into the weeds. And they don't know. They don't know what Inter Miami is going to do. They don't know what games he's going to play, what he's not. And every sport has midweek games. Even Premier League has midweek games. Like, I don't know. I think it's too much catering. It would be too much catering for one player to change everything around one player. And I know, again, it's messy, but that's kind of how I see this.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's a middle ground, then, put it that way, between where we both sit right now. I think there is a middle ground where there maybe it's not every single week and understanding the schedule, but just in terms of a business strategic position, they should be doing the due diligence of thinking about the season holistically, knowing that it's not like he's just doing this because of the need for rest in a midweek game. Like, I think we're missing the second layer, which is that next week he goes to Copa America. If there was no Copa America, we wouldn't be having this discussion.
Yeah,
and
probably.
MLS knew there was Copa America. And so that's maybe my point of disagreement is in a normal season, normal life, normal this, normal that, where it's you really can't do heads or tails if Messi's going to rest, if he's injured, if he's feeling sore, you know, he wants to whatever. Like, that's something that agreed MLS can't cater to every single week for Messi. But knowing you have this big international tournament, you probably should have just done a little bit more due diligence when creating the schedule 9 months ago. That's my point. That's my only thinking, because this situation happened solely because of the schedule, you know, but it's there's somewhere in the middle that maybe they'll hopefully figure out. Next question. And this one, I'm going to let you lead, Gian, because I think you know this rule very well. And we've kind of talked about it a little bit. Where did the NBA one go?
It's right here. Hold on. We edited the question a little bit. So let's take a look at it. Hold on right here. Okay. We should have it. Here we go. So okay. Here's the question.
Yeah. So explain this.
Yeah. So, and kind of what I alluded to a bit right now in our conversation, should MLS implement a player rest policy like the NBA, restricting how many, how often, and when players may rest? So right now, the NBA, again, has a restriction because of the fact that there are especially a lot of nationally televised games. So obviously the television rights and all that work a little differently than the MLS does right now, where everything runs through MLS season pass. With the NBA, there are games that are played just locally, and there are games that are played on national channels like ESPN or ABC and that sort of thing, where the entire country gets to watch. And those are typically marquee games where you've got the best against the best, right? You've got the Boston Celtics versus the Heat, or you've got the Knicks versus the Lakers, things like that. So those are big teams in the U.S. for basketball. So the NBA wants to make sure that, you know, these TV providers are paying big money to get the rights to be able to air this, and they want to make sure there are as many people as possible watching these games. So they want the best players, because if the best players aren't on the court for these basketball games, then people are not going to watch. And then, you know, it's all a money thing, the amount of commercials and viewership and all that goes down. So the NBA has implemented rules where they, for nationally televised games and other big games, how many of your star players can you sit at any given time? So if you've got three or four all-stars on your team, they'll restrict it to possibly one at a time, no more than, you know, a certain amount. Also, how often can you sit a player to rest them? So if you got, for example, LeBron is still playing. When LeBron, he can only sit, for example, this week, but then next week he has to play all the games, and then like you can't be resting him once a week and that sort of thing. Like, they wanted to make sure that he was on the court as many times as possible. And then when, like, for example, nationally televised games and that sort of thing. So there's a few components to that. So the idea, I guess, especially with all the fallback with Messi and him not playing for a sold out crowd in Canada, should the MLS implement a rule like that? And you guys said no. And I think I definitely agree with that. I don't think that they should necessarily implement a rule that's going to, you know, strap a team to make them make decisions that maybe aren't the best for the team, maybe aren't the best for a season, just to please make sure certain players are available for certain fans. And they don't do that anywhere else really in soccer. So I agree with that. But I think that that's different than a rule that would require a team reporting what players will rest and what players will be out due to injury. I'm on the fence about that. Not saying that I want that, but I think that those two rules are a bit different.
Yeah.
And maybe one works better than the other, but it's interesting. I think, yeah, well, most people disagree with that. What do you think, Ash?
I think I disagree with it too. I disagree with it in the fact that I think that, first of all, there's far less games in MLS than there are in NBA. Like, there's 82 games in the NBA season, and they play usually 3 or 4 games a week. So it's a much different, like, supply demand. There's way more games. There's way more superstars. There's way more places you play in, and there's smaller venues. So I think, there's many more chances to watch them. Yeah. In MLS and in soccer in general, there's not 82 games. There's like 35. They're spread out more, and there's only 11 players you can have on the field, right? And so I think it's just a different, you know, it's a different world. I think, though, that while I don't think they should do this measure, like I said, I think that you know what? You've seen it better with NBA, too. NBA has worked, I think, and improved their scheduling recently in the last couple of years. They've tried to be more strategic with scheduling with the big teams. Like, they are trying to be more strategic when they have their Bostons and their Knicks and their Lakers. Yeah,
the traveling. They want you to
– the Dallas Mavericks, Milwaukee, you know, Giannis and Joel Embiid and all these players, like – they are more strategic, and they try to create schedules for them, which leads them to have better, opportunities to play in the big games that are televised. And that's fair. Like, it sounds unfair to a team like maybe like the Orlando Magic or, you know, I don't even know, like in, you know, OKC, whatever the case may be, like maybe their schedules aren't as forgiving, but they don't have as many star players, and the league grows and improves as a whole. And that's what MLS needs to do. They need to grow and improve as a whole. And in order to do that, you need to focus on what is bringing you the most money, get it the most visibility, and improve the league from it. That's in my opinion. And so, you know, that's capitalism. Like, you know, without getting to, you have to make the most of, you know, your stars. So we'll see if anything changes. But I agree with everyone that this is night, you know, for football heritage and for how soccer is so different than that, it would be a hard sell. Next question.
Yeah. All right, right here. All right. Who needs to step up in Messi, Suarez, and Busquets' absence? Is it Campana, Rojas, Taylor, or someone else? And this is interesting. I thought it was going to be Campana, but even though he takes a second spot here, but it's Rojas with almost 52% and then of the vote, and then you've got Campana with 33%. So I thought that's pretty interesting to me. I would say that they both make sense. Both make a lot of sense. Number one, you're missing Suarez. So Campana is obviously the going to be the center forward there. So he's definitely going to have to step his game up. He's coming off of a beautiful goal, the game-winning goal in the 94th minute last week. So I think that that's hopefully going to help his confidence. And, yeah, he's definitely a guy that's going to have to put the offense on his shoulders and be a scoring threat for Inter Miami to have any chance. And then Rojas makes a lot of sense, too, because we've talked about this in the past where with Messi missing games, Rojas was the guy that most closely fits Messi's profile and could be the guy to slot in when he's not around to be the playmaker, the guy, the motor, and the motor that connects the midfield with the offense with his playmaking ability, his passing, his ability to shoot well both from inside and outside of the area. So he's a guy, again, that just resembles Messi's skill set the most. So with those two players out, with Suarez and Messi, it seems almost natural that Campana and Rojas are going to be the guys who are going to be probably the protagonists in this match and the guys that are going to have to be able to shoulder most of the load for this team. I think if they're going to score and if they're going to look dynamic without some of their best playmakers and scorers in Messi, because we have to remember Messi and Suarez, not only are they goal scorers, but they're two of the top playmakers. I believe they lead Inter Miami in both goals and assists. So
yeah,
that makes a lot of sense.
Totally. Yeah, I agree. I think that would be the two most important players. I agree with the Rojas take because I think Rojas could score goals and create at a very high level. And he needs to. He's going to need to do that. He's going to have to really be like And especially with no Busquets too, he's going to have to be really like the general on the pitch of needing to, you know, connect the defense to the midfield, create opportunities in the midfield for himself, for Campana, and for Robert Taylor. He's going to have, you know, a lot of responsibility. And so I'm hoping he does step up the most. Oh gosh, I hope we do not see AKA even in this in this setup we have now. I hope not. We'll see though. But and also here's
The last K will be there. Aviles will be there, but yeah, the AK, the K will be there. The A, we don't know. So yeah, interesting.
And a dark horse, someone who I think is going to have to play a big role on the field is Jordi Alba, because he's going to have to be that leadership and that vocal piece of, you know, making sure people are playing in their positions. They're not, you know, they're not being like lazy or despondent. They're focused, they're forward moving, etc. They're watching their lines. Jordi Alba is going to have to, I think, be like a real general on the pitch as well. But I think they can do it. I think that they can do it with those pieces. And you know what? It's going to be a really good example of what are we going to do when we don't have Messi and potentially Suarez, right? Busquets is going to also, by the way, the reason I think he's missing is he's going to have to play every single minute when Messi is gone. So I think, you know, giving him the rest now, I think is fair enough. This is a good comment. I wonder if Redondo starts. I don't know if he's going to start. I don't know if he's going to play, but it is good to know that he's coming back, because, you know, we definitely are going to need him.
Yeah, I mean, he's close to coming back. I remember about a week ago, they asked Tata Martino whether it was a matter of days or weeks. He said days. He's been practicing with the team. He looks good in practice. We've seen videos of that. So it's only a matter of days. I don't know if he'll play in Vancouver, especially knowing that he's coming back from a knee injury and it's turf.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know if he'll necessarily play. And if he does play, I don't think that they'd start him. Usually when players come back from injury, they like to give him a few minutes, maybe in the second half or something like that. But I would say I'm 99% sure he's not going to start.
Yeah. Okay. All right, cool. Well, to wind this down, which has been a really, really great discussion. And I think, like you said, time is only going to tell if there are changes made. It's a tough situation for all parties. It's, you know, the unfortunate part of, you know, knowing Messi's age and some of their ages and the big tournament coming up, you know, midweek games. There's like a lot of factors, some that you just can't control, that are part of why it happened. Maybe there will be changes, maybe there won't be. It'll be interesting to see. But thank you all so much for giving us your, you know, your thoughts and comments, because I think it's a good discussion to have. It's an open discussion where there is no perfect answer or solution right now. It's going to just be an evolving situation and seeing how the league adjusts and how everyone adjusts to try and maximize, you know, the messy effect and the messy atmosphere he's going to bring for the next year and a half, right? So before we go, last but not least, predictions, which is hard. A question for Ash. Wait, let's do this one really quickly.
I already know the answer to this one.
Rate these three events from best to worst. Suarez hat trick, Messi five assists, shirtless Well, number one is Campana. Like, it's so true. It was obviously, because the quality of the goal, it had nothing to do with his shirt coming off. No. Then Messi five assists, and then Suarez hat trick. That's just my order. But I'll tell you this, and this is me being completely unbiased. If you had put Messi free kick winner Cruz Azul, that would have been number one. 100%. So I'm not biased. Predictions. Gian Stradamus, what is your prediction for this game? This will really test your ability.
Yeah. So prediction for this game. I think obviously this game became a lot tougher than we thought it was before we found out this news about the three of them, Messi, Suarez, and Busquets missing the game. I think this is going to be I think it's going to be a tough game. I think obviously Vancouver is a team that started off well, has been struggling as of late. They are a team that hasn't won a game since April. The last time they won was a 2-0 win over Seattle Sounders on April 20th. But since then, they've tied and lost They're coming off of a tie against the Seattle Sounders again on May 18th, so I don't think they're in good form. Their best three players, like that's as far as offense is concerned, I think it's going to be up to them, really, to be able to get back on track. That's Brian White. He's got 5 goals. Ryan Gould has 4. Fafa Picault has 3. That's their top 3 goal scorers. They haven't been doing well as of late. As if you look at the scores, it's 1-0 games, 1-1 games. They haven't done well, so... I think that if those three guys can get on track, I think Vancouver has a chance with Inter Miami missing some important players. And then also playing at home and then knowing that these teams always step up against Inter Miami. They want to prove a point. And then also what better way to get back on track than beating the number one team in MLS right now, the top goal scoring team in MLS. So I think from a Vancouver perspective, I think it'll be a tough matchup. They'll get up to play against us. I also think it'll be interesting to see how they play against Inter Miami defensive-wise. We know that Inter Miami has been a top goal scorer, but at the same time, I think that DC United kind of set the blueprint on how to face an Inter Miami team and try to stop them from scoring a lot of goals. And we saw that they basically played with 5 defenders, with 4 midfielders, and then with Benteke up front by himself, and they didn't pressure Inter Miami. They didn't do a high press. They basically waited for Miami to get to the midfield line and then just closed all the passing lanes, tried to force Inter Miami on the wings. So I think that'll be interesting to see. Do they play that way, or do they play the way other teams have, where they full press Miami and they try to get the center backs and try to get Busquets as they try to build out to make mistakes and then quickly counter? So that'll be interesting to see. Then as far as Inter Miami is concerned, I see an Inter Miami team that's coming into this game struggling. They're a team that was scoring 5, 4, 3 goals a game. And then the last 2 games, we see that they haven't scored a single goal in 90 minutes of regulation. Against Orlando City, they didn't score at all. And then it took a heroic goal by Campana against DC United in the 94th minute to get a goal. But they've been struggling, I think, even with Messi on the pitch and Suarez and everybody, to create goal scoring opportunities to finish the ones that they have. And the playmaking, the creativity just hasn't been there like it has. So I think that Inter Miami is going to have to go into this game, and it becomes even tougher now to try to get back on track. And, you know, I want to see a good result. I want to see whether it's a tie or a win. I want to see this team play well. I think that's going to be what's important to me. I hope anytime you go and you play away from home, you're traveling 6 hours to get there. You want to see them at least come out with a point and just play well and get back on track. And this Inter Miami too, a defense that has taken a lot of criticism, actually has 2 clean sheets back to back. So that's nice to see as well. Unfortunately, Freire out, hopefully Christoph or Noah Allen, whoever slots in at that center back position, can kind of do well there. And hopefully we come out with another clean sheet or at least just maybe 1 goal. So taking that into consideration, I'm going to say that Vancouver is going to score, I think, 2 on this Inter Miami team, especially knowing that, Freire is no longer there and Christoph necessarily hasn't always been 100% reliable in there. So I'm going to say Vancouver scores 2 and Inter Miami is going to score 2. I'm actually going tie game 2-2 on this one.
No, I think that's good logic, honestly. I'm going to do something a little similarly. Which is I'm going to say 2-1 Inter Miami win. I'm going to say it's going to be, though, to your point, I think it's going to be low scoring. I think we're definitely going to give up a goal, but I'm hoping that, I still think quality wise, like I think Rojas and Campana are high quality players. And I think even Kramaski, I think they are high quality players. Robert Taylor, too, if he has the space. And I'm going to give them, a chance to show themselves and prove a point and take, the confidence from Campana last week, the confidence of the golazos we've seen out of Rojas and get 2 goals. I mean, we're seeing a couple of similar stories, though, like 1-1, doable 3-1. That's, being, I think, very optimistic. I hope you're right, AZ Rebellion. It will be similar to Orlando closed game. I agree. Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be low scoring. I'm going with the Inter Miami win 2-1. You're going 2-2. I think they're both very, very possible. And we'll wait and see. We will not be doing a immediate post-game live stream tonight. So we are not going to be going live at 1 in the morning tonight. But tomorrow or Monday, we will be doing a post-game stream. And we will, as soon as we know when that will be, we will let you guys know so you can make sure you're joining. But it'll be interesting. This was a great discussion. This was really interesting. What the lineup looks like, how they play, the energy they have, all things I'm curious about that we're going to see. And it'll, you know, this is what the next couple of weeks, you know, the next 2 months really are going to look like. And so it's how can we figure out ways to still succeed as a club and keep getting our performances good so that when they come back, Messi and whoever else come back, the team is still in good shape and good form, still winning, still top of the league, ready to go on a real, you know, a real chase for an MLS Cup win and potentially a supporter shield. So with that being said, thank you all so much for watching this episode of Messi & Co. and for giving such great conversation and feedback and, you know, thoughts. Make sure you're following us on Twitter/X at Messi & Co. because just like with this, we are posting polls, we're posting live breaking news, we're posting content, clips, questions, all those things. And we need you guys there to help interact with us. Make sure you're subscribed on YouTube, 5 Reasons Sports, have your notification bell on, like and comment on these videos to help us with the algorithm. It means a lot. And then TikTok, Messi & Co. 5RSN.
Yep. Appreciate you guys getting on with us. This was a pleasure as always. And as always, Ashley said, make sure you like the video and we will catch you guys on the next one. Vamos Inter Miami.
Vamos Inter Miami. And let's go team.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.